So we're here at the Islington Arts Factory in North London to see an exhibition of pictures by members of the New Art Studio, which is a therapeutic art studio for refugees and asylum seekers.
My name is Dean Reddick.
And I'm Alban Lowe, a practicing artist.
And I'm Chris Brown, I'm an art therapist. So I think what's interesting is you starting out with the idea of barriers, because that's exactly the problem that refugees have.
Well, it's all through the text, isn't it, the word barriers?
Yeah.
All those quotes that are on the walls.
Ah, is it? I didn't read that.
Oh, yeah, no, the word barriers comes up almost continually.
Okay, barriers in terms of social barriers being here, or...
Yeah, and economic barriers and legal barriers.
Or I thought about safety barriers. So feeling safe.
Well, here people were saying they feel safe, yes.
Yeah, that duality, you know, the dual purpose of barriers and rules, I suppose, and things like that. And conformity, that they're all nearly in frames.
Well, I was wondering about the conservative nature of the presentation, in that there's no sculpture, for example. There's very little abstract work. There's very little messy work. I mean, it's quite quite conservative. What's the word?
Do you think there's people trying to fit in?
Yes, I was wondering whether that there might be a feeling that if you do work that is respectable or, you know, academian or something, that it makes one feel part of something. But I'm very careful of making those sorts of interpretations, because I feel a bit...
But there's some very challenging pieces. I mean, it's not without pieces that are
disturbing
and taking a step into the unknown, or... asking a lot of the viewer. One of the first things that I saw in the exhibition, and I'd like to talk to you about, is landscape. I mean, really, really strong. Mm. And one of the first things I thought, are these imagined landscapes that give you a chance of moving to another space, or are these landscapes that talk of home, talk about a past? So kind of future and past sort of idea, or present. And I wondered if you thought about that when you saw them, or what you thought about when you, as a whole theme, when you thought about the landscapes in here, because there are a lot.
Yeah, no, I agree. I noticed that there was a lot of landscapes, and a lot of dark landscapes. I don't mean dark metaphorically, I mean dark visually.
Mm. Yeah. Yes, I noticed that aspect of some of the dark ones, but it's interesting, to be honest. What tended to catch my eye more were the ones that were art therapy familiar. Pictures that I might well expect somebody in art therapy to produce.
Okay, so this is totally new to me, so I've known... Are they motifs?
It would involve some emotional pain. Or some emotion, so, you know, that one, the expression on the face is... conveying something, I'm not quite sure what.
Okay, so there's another drawing. There's a drawing in there that has duplication of eyes, nose, mouth.
Oh, yes.
So that'd be it. What sort of these motifs that you're thinking about?
That might be something familiar from an art therapy
session. That's interesting. Because the word motif just isn't in my art therapy vocabulary. No, it's doing so interesting.
Themes? Is that what you're...
No, I wouldn't even say that. It's something about when I look at it, it expresses some kind of feeling that I feel is being communicated to me, and that as a therapist I'm receiving that.
Okay.
So that familiar way of looking at art against what you see less of, I guess, in a clinical art therapy setting, which is the more technically accomplished art. I mean, there's quite a lot of good drawing and sophisticated use of paints.
Mm.
You know, just looking around, there's lots of, you know, very technically skilled artworks that I don't so much. I work with 4-year-olds, so you know my experience is slightly different. But that one doesn't traditionally see in art therapy imagery, because we don't value that kind of aesthetic technical skill. That's not something that we encourage. You know, so that's a difference for me. That's quite striking, atypical of an art therapy.
And we don't know how much that's promoted as this is a place where you can be an artist.
Yes.
Whereas in one of the other main practitioners of studio art therapy is called Studio Upstairs, and in that setting they're very clear: you are first and foremost an artist.
Well, there's something here about status, isn't there? Artist as status. That seems really, really important to people who are saying, I think, in the quotations, that they have lost status.
There's a
brilliant quotation in there saying about nobody treats me like me, which I think is such a...
Yeah, but that's not specific to a refugee, is it? Or
I think it is, because actually if you choose to go somewhere and not be yourself, you have the option of going back. But if you're a refugee, you don't.
Quite a lot of the things that are drawn and painted are right in the middle of the canvas, if you notice that. And that's really saying, if someone went through art school, they'd often put it to the side, they'd know about composition, and they'd put it through to the side to tell a story.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of these have a slight naivety, but that's also a kind of honesty in it. Whatever they're painting, right in the middle of the picture, you've got this sun, you've got a doorway, you've got a face, you've got, you know, there you've got rooms within rooms, and
even the eye, the vanishing points on those are both
central. And it's this kind of truth, really, I suppose. So you go into that first space, and one of the things you think, this is quite, there's lots of personalities here. But you do feel there is a threat. Things are breaking up and coming back together, and you felt there were threads going through that. I felt it actually was very coherent as an exhibition.
So you're talking about the curating.
But I think generally things are mixed up on each wall, and there's a variety of different
sort of groups of artists
things
together.
And then there are some that are more graphic than... Some walls that are more graphic than others, and I think that's the only one in the
it's just
cafe
that artist
area that's just one artist.
And for me, not to be disparaging about the artist or the artwork at all, it was the least interesting part of it for me. I liked that lots of different things were sitting together. I like the challenge of it. I like jumping from one style to another. And I still felt that it was coherent. So yes, I think it is curated. You look there, just those two suns.
No, I agree. I think it is rather nicely curated.
So I'd say that for me, but I'm just going to go back to motifs, Chris. I don't know quite why, but I'd say there was a sort of dark angular motif that got for me, and I don't quite, it might be the black frames, I'm not sure, but there's definitely this a geometric, and I don't quite know how to. There's a darkness that goes through it, definitely.
And what would you associate to that darkness?
So I would say they're well worked. None of these feel unfinished. I think one of the things you can find in these exhibitions is they're thrown together with work that's kind of half finished or half considered.
Yeah.
I think nearly all of these works feel like they've been finished or someone's worked on them for quite a long time.
That's really nice.
So, you know, there's no blank bit of work. There's no, you know, they're all reaching the edges of their picture as well. They've all reached the edges.
Yeah, they're full.
Yeah.
But more specifically in terms of the darkness.
For me,
I think that is a feature of an, you know, that is something that you notice. You can't not notice. Because a lot of the pictures are
nighttime, shadowy,
dark by virtue of the amount of black in them. Mm.
So those black things for me are like a black anchor. For me, they are like someone's dropped an anchor into these works, and I can see a almost an anchor shape, you know, like a black shape of which that sits in the paintings.
You see, I find it so interesting that you answer these questions from, do you know that term ekphrasis, where you describe a picture, you write about a picture by
great detail
in detail, and you know, you're always thinking about the art making process. That's always comes across in your answer, whereas mine would probably start with something to do with loss. Completely, you know, the psychological end, whereas you're very much coming at it from an artistic sensibility. I think it's what your sensibility is, that your sensibility is attuned to artistic composition, because that's the world you inhabit daily. My sensibility is more psychologically based, because that's what I inhabit daily.
Yes, totally. Different.
But interesting, the idea of an anchor and of loss go together. The anchor is what holding against some
sense. That's the attachment.
So they're
could be holding you down, though, stopping you getting away. But it also could be
a sense, a safety, or something around which you orbit. So they're in a sense they describe a similar emotional resonance.
But there is a heaviness to these pictures, isn't there? A vast majority of them.
Well, there is, but interesting, I don't find them depressing in that sense.
No.
Not that kind of heaviness. No, solidity. I thought solidity, the word solidity was good. I thought and that idea that they're well worked and completed lends them that sense of solidity, which must be something to do with the process in the studio and how people feel.
Well, the association I've just had is about fading light. That's a sort of darkness a result of the absence of light. As light fades and as one leaves the life and vitality,
or the danger.
It's interesting how suddenly you need to challenge the assumptions that you make when you start talking about.
Well, that's the point of doing it, isn't it? Because you only know your assumptions once you start voicing them to people, otherwise it's...
So I'd also say the narrative's quite well hidden.
Can I just say, in terms of the landscape, there are lots of the landscapes have no figures in them.
Yes.
Which is,
most of them, I think.
Yeah, quite significant.
And, of course, that's the other thing about darkness, is you can hide in the darkness. So I think that thing about something being hidden is absolutely on the button.
But a lot of them, but, I mean, I think that's true, but quite a lot of these dark landscape images are just not including figures. They are without figures.
Because figures are hard to draw, though, aren't they? You're a little bit unconfident, and you think, "Well, I'm not going to draw a Stubbs horse or something. I'm not going to draw a horse or a man."
Sure.
So I think there might be a little bit.
But even these cityscapes, one gets the sense that there's no one there.
I love those cityscapes. Yeah. No, you're right.
I mean, no light on in the tower block. No cars outside the apartments.
When I moved to France,
even the bus looks empty.
It's interesting. When I moved to France and lived in France for 2-3 years, every landscape that I painted didn't have a person. And I don't know why. I don't know. Okay. Maybe it was that I wanted to see myself in them. although I was the other side of the canvas, I still didn't want someone else to inhabit it. It was
solitude.
These were landscapes that I was going to inhabit. Yeah. They were my spaces.